So, we are focusing on spiritual receptivity, and yesterday we looked at it in relation to integration and also I laid out some ground that I hope will be useful through this whole retreat. Very useful will be that transcript from Rajungpa's Repentance, which, where in just a couple of pages, Bhante really sort of nails, where what true just sitting is. And yeah, it's very, very clear. I also don't know how many times I used the words relaxed awareness yesterday, but it was a lot. So hopefully you got that message. And as well as inviting you to relax as much as possible while you're here, I was also suggesting that as a mindfulness exercise, you can just notice through the day how much functioning is, how much selfing is happening. So there are times where it's hardly there at all, you're just quite open, you're just drinking a cup of something, or there's not much self-reference at all, and the body is quite relaxed and at ease. And then something happens. Oh, you're late. Are you? Oh, what? Oh, yes, you're late. Suddenly, your body tenses. You're closed down. You're not taking in what's around you. But then, oh no, you're not. No, it's. Oh, it wasn't. Right, it's not. It's 6:15. Okay, so you're not late, and then you relax again, and your mind opens out, and you take things in. So that tendency is happening all through the day. That sort of movement, that opening to experience, being more receptive, and then for some reason closing down around a sense of me, creating me and my world. So just by noticing that, that mindfulness offers us the opportunity to relax more and to let go, to just not do that to ourselves, not tense up in that way. But it also helps us to see that self-clinging isn't a clinging to anything real or actual. It's just a way of functioning. It is just selfing. And then we focus quite a bit on groundedness and grounding at the beginning of the meditations. And we did that sort of basic exercise where we went through the different senses, just being open, not clinging, just open, receptive in each of those sense fields, including the mind, and that led us into just sitting. And we also looked at Balam, this very kind of easy breathing from below the navel, very kind of with a sense of satisfaction, relaxation, which you can do as a meditation practice, or you can just use as a mindfulness anchor. I mean, as I'm talking this morning, you could just be having 10% of your awareness just down here, just breathing easy, just that would be good. So today we're going to see how positive emotion supports just sitting. And there is a big difference between a just sitting which leaves your heart out and a real open-hearted just sitting. Just sitting with an open heart is really fulfilling, is really satisfying. If the practice goes deep, it can almost feel as if you're just sitting in an open heart or as an open heart. So that aspect of ourselves needs to be involved. And to start with, it's a kind of attitude to our experience. It's a turning towards our experience. And if we really get a feeling for this, it becomes very healing. Just sitting is choiceless awareness. We're not deciding what to focus on. We're just allowing our experience to arise moment by moment. So our attitude to that arising moment by moment is crucial. In a way, we won't be able to do choiceless awareness unless there's positive emotion present, because we will be subtly choosing all the time. There will be certain aspects of our experience that we won't want to include. We won't allow into the mandala. So what we're aiming to do is to create a feeling of care, receptivity, a kind of gentle, loving approach to whatever arises. It's just whatever arises, we're just holding it in our heart. And if we manage to get to that point, then everything that arises is sort of satisfied. It's almost like what our experience really wants is to just be fully experienced. It just wants to be known. That's what it really, really requires, to be fully lived, to be fully experienced. And we can't do that if our heart's closed, because we won't turn towards the experience in the way that we need to. So all our experience wants to be acknowledged. It's a bit like a child in a way. You can interact with a child in all sorts of good and not so good ways. The most difficult thing usually for a child is if you ignore it. If you simply refuse to interact, just go away, I'm busy. Or you just blank it out. That's very, very hard. And we're doing that with aspects of our experience most of the time. So that natural sort of flow of dependent arising, that natural flow of life, gets sort of interrupted. We're not really available just to all our experience. And where we're not available, it has a very, very big effect on us, just as it does with a child. I remember when I was about 6, come to think of it, I was taken by my parents to buy a new raincoat. And for some reason, I don't know why, and they didn't know why either, I just really didn't want this raincoat. And so there we are in the middle of this kind of clothes shop, department store somewhere, and I just don't want this raincoat. And hard as it is to believe now, I had quite a temper when I was 6, so I'd really go in for a good tantrum. So when I couldn't sort of just explain that I didn't want this raincoat, and when they were sort of insisting I had to have it, I did, the natural thing, which was to throw myself on the ground, start banging my head on the ground and yelling. And my parents sort of tried to calm me, and it didn't work, because they still seemed to be trying to give me this raincoat. So they walked off, and that did it. That was instantaneous. It's like, I'm kind of going, uh-oh. Because the one thing that I couldn't bear was just to be not interacted with. That's like not existing. That's terrible when you're young. So, at that point I got up and probably put my raincoat on. we're kind of doing that with bits of our experience. There are the bits that we blank out. And actually quite a big part of Dharma practice is just learning to do the very difficult thing and turn that around and just keep meeting all our experience where it is, as it is. And that's not easy because, it always feels like there must be good reasons why we don't want to go and meet that bit of our experience. Yeah. But as I'm sure you've discovered over the years, you know, the things that we avoid are where the energy is. So, as Dharma practitioners, often we get quite good at sort of looking like we're going into these areas, but not quite. There's that story of Mullah Nasruddin, who's, you know, he's a sort of holy fool who's used in a lot of Sufi teaching stories. And some of his friends are coming along, it's night, and they find him down on his knees, sort of under a street lamp, sort of searching about. So they say, "Oh, what have you lost?" And he says, "Oh, I've lost a ring." So they get down on their knees too, and they're kind of doing kind of fingertip search around. And they search and they search and they can't find it. So they say to him, "Are you sure it's here?" And he says, "Oh no, I dropped it over there. But the light's much better for looking here." So we kind of do that. You know, we know as Dharma practitioners we're supposed to be turning towards our experience, but we don't quite really want to go off into the dark over there. You don't expect me to do that, do you? So we stay somewhere where it's kind of a bit easier and brighter, and part of us knows that we're not quite getting to where we really need to get to, but we look like we are. We're trying, So we have to somehow find that sort of genuine care, that genuine interest. Otherwise it won't work. It's like, you know, aspects, all our experience, it's a bit like a sort of engaging with another person. Yeah. If there's someone who I find difficult, and I don't engage with them, that doesn't work. But then I think, oh, well, you know, I better engage with them and I have a go. But if they feel that the reason why I'm engaging with them is because actually I want to fix them so they'll go away, for some reason that doesn't work either. Yeah, they actually need to feel that I'm genuinely interested, not because it will be convenient for me, but because of them. I actually have to care for them on their terms. And as soon as they actually feel that, as soon as they feel that, you know, I actually am interested, I actually do care, then suddenly the whole thing changes. And whereas before they were kind of not engaging with me, suddenly, you know, they'll tell me about what's going on and their hopes and fears and aspirations, and you know, it all comes out. And it's, you know, what a wonderful experience it is just to be on the receiving end of being really listened to by someone who you feel really cares, and just being able to say whatever's there. That is so fantastic. That's, you know, it's one of the best things that can happen to us in a way as a human being. So all that applies internally as well. It's like within ourselves, it's like there are aspects of ourselves that we're kind of blanking out, or we're sort of rather grudgingly kind of engaging with in hopes that if we do it will go away or we'll somehow fix it. But actually that never quite does it. Yeah. We can do our best, but finally there's no substitute for us actually opening our heart to our experience in all its aspects, with the trust that if we do that, then something wonderful will happen. There will be a real healing. It's as if, just as when you get to that point in communication where you feel, yes, somebody really is interested, and suddenly things start to pour out of you, and you start to say what's really going on and how it's really been for you, it's the same internally. It's like just all those aspects that were a bit kind of frozen and kind of cut off, they all start to flow, they all start to communicate, they all start to open up. And just sitting, part of just sitting, is that process where just anything can arise, we're just sitting there, we're completely open to all our experience. Yeah, we're genuinely interested. And it starts to unfold. Yeah. One lot of sensations in the body sort of come up and say, hello, look, this is what's happening right this moment now. And you turn towards them with care and with interest. And that leads into something else. That leads into a feeling, a certain kind of feeling of sadness, say, and you turn towards that, and that then sort of feels, ah, that's what I wanted. I wanted someone to take an interest and care. And so that then transforms into something else and something else. And there's this whole kind of healing process that goes on. Just one thing leads to another. Very, very natural and simple and beautiful. So having our heart open in the practice is crucial. It's really important. Not that we make that into another program. Yes, okay, not only have I got to be relaxed and aware, but now I've got to have an open heart as well. Not that, no, but just doing our best in the moment to find as much open-heartedness as we can, as much care for our experience as we can. As much genuine interest. Because this is our life now. A lot of the time we're not wanting the experience we're having because it's there's some other experience that we imagine that we could be having or that we ought to be having, or as Dharma practitioners we really ought to be having. So we leap over what's actually going on. And that can't work. Our Dharma life has to start from right where we are now. Otherwise, quite often we get into this sort of spiritual ambition thing where we're so busy trying to get over there, towards enlightenment, that we don't value what's happening now. And that creates difficulties. It creates lots of hopes and fears. In fact, if you have lots of hopes and fears about your practice, it's usually a sign that there's this sort of spiritual ambition going on, that we're discounting our experience, trying to get to something else. But there is only now. There is only the present. So, although, yes, we need to set our goal, yes, we need to commit ourselves to the path, in actual practice, most of the time, what we need to be doing is, it's more like sinking into what you could call the depth dimension of the present moment. Yeah. It's like fully, deeply inhabiting this moment with an open heart. If we do that moment by moment by moment, the future will take care of itself. Awakening will take care of itself. Everything will take care of itself. We just take care of this moment as much as we can. As well as we can.